Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. American Family Radio is what you are listening to, what you've tuned into, and we appreciate you joining us for the next hour and 25 minutes as we focus on some of the things that are affecting our country and our world. Ed Vitagliano is with me. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Walker Wildman. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning. Good to be here on the show.
People may say, well, why don't you say good morning to them every day when you've already seen them for 2 hours? Mm-hmm. So we've already seen each other. But
just to introduce.
What do you want me to say?
Yeah.
Not introduce you?
Right.
Or you say, Ed Vitagliano, guess who he is? Guess which voice he is?
Right.
So I think it's appropriate that I say good morning. Good
Absolutely.
Morning. Walker, what are we doing on this here internet, or that their internet,
as yeah.
Ed calls it?
A couple things, and we do this each day so you can keep up with the show, so our listeners and viewers can keep up with the show. The first thing is we're on Facebook.
Our throngs of fans. Is it a throng?
Throng, sure. Throng.
Throngs of fans. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Walker.
Okay.
I was just adding a little drama to your your otherwise routine
yeah.
introduction.
Sorry, I know it's pretty boring. You know, you hear yeah. it every day.
So,
but
go ahead.
We're on Facebook,
uh-huh.
and so you can watch the show on Facebook. Also catch the news articles. Click on each news article that I post there. We're on YouTube. You can watch the show on YouTube, comment live on the show.
You can comment on YouTube, too?
Yeah, you can comment, share your thoughts on the show. We actually try to read a lot of those. We may not reply to all of them. But your comments are heard. And the last thing you can do is download the American Family Radio app on your smartphone, tablet device, and you can listen anywhere as long as you have an internet connection.
Thank you, Walker.
Yes, sir.
Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning. Breaking news for us this morning. Walker has a different shirt on this morning with a different logo.
Yeah.
Hey.
He He's got the one you had on yesterday. Just
yeah,
so he
Walker.
Didn't get abused.
Mm, yeah.
Well, Walker yesterday, for those who weren't listening, he had the horse, the polo, the man on the horse playing polo
mm-hmm.
As his shirt emblem,
mm-hmm.
which is called a polo shirt.
That's right.
For those of us in the know about fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And when you wear a polo shirt, you know, it says to others around you, I'm superior to you. It does. It does. It says to other shirts, get out of my way.
Yeah.
To other shirts.
Right.
Other the shirt is speaks. Saying it. Walker was
Yeah, I'm not
saying,
judging.
Right.
People are all valuable.
Yes.
You know, in the eyes of the Lord.
Right.
But I'm shirts, they do have an air of superiority when
yeah.
they
There is around, a pecking order when it
yeah,
comes
when they
to
go around
shirts.
The building. So.
But you know, we had a talk before I left the house, and I just said, ease off on the
right.
bragging.
So you went Under Armour today.
Yeah.
Under Armour, great brand.
Step down
Maybe
a little
step
bit.
Down from a polo.
Middle class.
Sort of, yeah, this is yeah. Under Armour, kind of between that country club
and... it's all about how I'm feeling for the day.
So Fred right and now. I, what? So what are we?
We're all logo-less.
You guys are Walmart.
Hey, this hey, comes from Kohl's.
There is nothing wrong with Walmart clothes. I'm not judging. You just got... You don't have anything on your chest.
That's right.
Or your sleeve.
Nope.
I got something underneath the shirt, though, buddy. Let
Do
me
you
tell
now?
You something.
Boom, boom. A lot of pizza and lasagna. And... All right.
Don't let the fat fool you. There's some muscle here.
There's down there somewhere.
I know. I mean, right. People can't see my, you know, my six-pack abs.
Right.
You know, I
right.
do have washboard abs, but
right.
I happen to have a load of towels,
right.
you know, in the washer right now.
Which requires a good shirt. All right, Fred. Since we've been talking the last 5 minutes, how much is the Facebook stock falling, Fred?
Anywhere from 17 to 20%.
I'm reminded of Tom Petty.
I'll tell you
Free
what.
Free falling. Well, that's a bad Tom Petty, but you know yeah. what I'm talking about.
Yeah, Mark Zuckerberg is having a bad day. And this is what's interesting. I've been reading the stories about Facebook. They're having real problems on the stock market today. The problem is that the number of people using it is not increasing at the same rate as it normally is, and that has a lot of people scared. But also on top of that, the ad revenue that Facebook gets is going down. This all in the wake of such things as, remember there was the scandal back there a few months ago where people's personal data was hacked by someone. And so all of this is starting to play into things. Also, there have been, quite frankly, some of the news stories that have come out that, you know, Zuckerberg, Facebook, they have, what, 14,000 people that monitor and comments and that sort of thing. They've gotten into trouble for basically censoring some people's point of view.
Oh, they're biased against conservatives.
Yes.
No
question. There's no question about that.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the Diamond and Silk?
Right.
Yeah.
Two African-American ladies who supported Trump.
Mm-hmm.
They even shut them down for a while. Now, they did put them back up. But let me ask you this. But what, you know, I'm clicking on a couple of news sites last night at home about 9 o'clock or whenever it was. And boom. There's this big story about Facebook stock dropping 25%.
Mm-hmm.
The things you mentioned, Fred, have been going on for the last few months. What precipitated, does anyone know, the sudden
Well, it was the quarterly
the sudden
projections.
Fall. Well, the quarterly projections?
Yes. Yeah, Zuckerberg comes out and says, hey, we're not going to make it things on the projection side of things. And that's all it takes. Now, just to give you an idea, the stock initially tumbled 23% in after-hours trading, which is what you were reading about last night, Tim. That erased more than $120 billion in market value in less than 2 hours. So much so, Facebook is so big that it's taking down all of the tech stocks today on the stock market. So $120 billion in less than 2 hours lost.
That is more than twice what I make in a year.
Yeah.
Is Zuckerberg easy come, easy go?
I guess the big question is Zuckerberg going to be able to make his house note at this point, Fred?
Yeah, I think
so. You think he's going to make it?
Yeah, I think he's got enough in the savings account.
Can he be fired? Does he have a board that can oust him?
He's a publicly traded
He's the founder. I mean, it would be – I just wonder. He's the founder of I can't imagine him being canned, but
I think canning him would
make it worse,
devastate the stock. I think.
Okay,
yeah, I would guess
he's the face, no pun intended, the face of Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what's interesting? I was reading. I don't remember if it was last night or this morning.
The league you don't drudge right now is shareholders plot to oust Zuckerberg.
Yeah, that's that could be any. That could be a small percentage of shareholders.
Are you saying Drudge can be sensational sometimes? Is that what you're
breaking
that,
news?
That happens.
Now, I was reading this. This is an article from Entertainment Weekly, was talking about a combative exchange between Facebook executives and reporters at the Television Critics Association's press tour. Okay, and this was pretty interesting because these Facebook executives were being asked about conservative websites, I mean conservative Facebook pages, conservative presence on Facebook. Now, InfoWars is pretty much considered to be a conspiracy site.
That's Adam, or what's his name?
That's
Jones.
Alex Jones.
Now, Alex Jones.
Now, did he die recently?
No, not that I know.
No, that was a conspiracy.
That was a conspiracy. It was a rumor floating around.
Yeah.
But they were also asked about, excuse me. I wonder why I sneezed right there at that moment. I wonder if there's something going on here.
Probably the Russians.
We need to wear a shirt with it.
But they were also asked about Fox News, about allowing. And so what these executives said is that, yes, we do allow these groups to have a presence on Facebook, but then we just limit distribution. Hmm. And I thought, obviously, that's what a lot of conservatives have been claiming and criticizing Facebook for is, okay, we have a Facebook page, but are our followers actually getting what we post up there?
Right.
And what Facebook was, these executives were saying is, we just limit distribution for sites that we don't approve when it talks about content. But they were being even asked about Fox News, and these reporters were saying most of what Fox puts up there is not true. And so these executives, in responding to that,
these are lefties who, I guess they're groupthink people out in Silicon Valley, or wherever they wherever they hang out. You know, it's a private company. You know, they do have share. No, it's not a private company. It's a publicly held company.
It's publicly right? held.
But, I mean, they do have shareholders they have to respond to, which is probably a good thing given the size of Facebook. Because if they were a private company, then you there's nothing you could do to, I mean, you could unsubscribe, I guess, to Facebook, but there's not much you could do to respond to the bias that's out there.
Yeah.
But if they're a publicly held company, as they are, you know, you're trying to appeal to everybody. You know, conservatives spend money too, and you don't want to do too many things to turn them off to where it hurts your bottom line.
Yeah, yeah. What Facebook is doing, and this is what Ed's mentioning here, is called shadow banning, and that is behind the scenes banning or limiting the reach of people on Facebook. And this is like this isn't an exactly, you know, equal comparison, but it's like sending you know, let's say I send 100 packages to all my closest friends, and FedEx or UPS or whoever dumps half of them in the garbage. You know, and they don't tell me about it. That's what Facebook's doing. It's one thing if you have these standards and they publicly say, yes, we limit speech that we don't like.
Right.
And that's our standard, like it or not. But the thing is, they're claiming that they're this neutral platform where everybody gets to share their voice, mm-hmm. when behind the scenes, that's not the case at all.
Well, especially, as I mentioned before, that glaring example of the Diamond and Silk, those ladies were banned for being a detriment to the community or something to that effect.
A threat to the community.
Huh?
A threat.
Yeah, a threat or a danger or something.
Yeah, I mean, bizarre. It was ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Only a far-left observer would say they're a threat to the community, whatever the community is. I don't even know. Nobody, that was undefined.
Right.
Mark Zuckerberg was, you know, confronted about this when he appeared before Congress, and they did rectify the situation, but the fact that it was done in the first place proves Walker's point, was Walker's talking about mm-hmm. here. So,
well,
anyway.
And part of the problem, I am halfway sympathetic to Facebook, because they're so huge and they have so many subscribers, people on Facebook. They have, what is it, like 14,000 yeah. people who are in charge of responding to complaints about content. Mm-hmm. So you're in 14,000, you're going to find people who are far leftists, and we'll say InfoWars, no, you know, whoever, no, we're going to block that. Diamond and Silk, block it.
Well, and 14,000 people, and they have subjective opinions
right.
as to how to interpret company policy.
Yes.
Right.
And so if they have five buddies around them at a wherever they do it, yeah. in a warehouse somewhere, and he talks to his buddy and says, yeah, that's political speech. We shouldn't allow that.
Right.
You know, so that's the way it's happening. It's very subjective.
Yes.
And Facebook doesn't seem to even know what its own policies are.
That's right.
Because they block some, they don't block others. I mean, it's all, you're going all over the place trying to figure out, all right, so is this their policy? Is that their policy? And when you ask Zuckerberg, he doesn't really know either.
Well, it seemed to me they better get something fixed, or they're going to go down the tubes financially, because I mean, you can't, 25% hit in a day, mm-hmm. whatever, on the
stock.
Would
you say 2 hours? In
2 hours, they lost $120 billion stock value.
I say down the tubes. Gosh. They'll always be around, but you know what I'm saying. Their stock value has dropped dramatically, and who knows if it'll ever come back.
Well, I got two words for you.
What's that?
MySpace.
is that something you're going to start?
No. Remember, Facebook replaced MySpace.
Yeah, MySpace was...
Somebody may come along and replace Facebook.
That's true.
Yeah.
Could happen.
Yeah.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Enough Facebook and Zuckerberg.
I was just going to say one additional thing. I'm thinking of starting MyFace.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you get back to us on that idea. Yeah, after you explore that a while, okay?
Here's 50 cents investment.
Yeah.
Starting hey, MyFace.
I don't even have... Here, I got a dollar.
SnapFace. How about SnapFace?
I'll buy a dollar of
InstaFace.
Could you got 50 cents change?
I do.
I'll buy 50 cents.
I can handle that.
Worth of stock in your...
InstaFace.
Give you a can of Coke.
InstaFace. Oh, my word. What's next, Fred?
What's next? Headline, 11 House Republicans seek impeachment of DOJ's Rosenstein.
Or you just threw Walker a fastball down the, right down the middle. Ed and I don't even need to be here. But Walker's about to hammer this thing.
Let me go get you change for that dollar.
And hit it in the cheap seats.
Me and my Under Armour shirt. Yeah.
That's why you wore that today. Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein doesn't have much of a fan club amongst most Republicans. 11 now have introduced what's called articles of impeachment. And among the five articles, they charge Rosenstein with high crimes and misdemeanors for failing to produce information to the committees that have been set up to look into the Mueller investigation of Russian, alleged Russian collusion with President Trump. Now, I think, and Walker, please chime in. There are a couple of things here. Yeah, he will. There are a couple of things here. These committees, House committees, have been after information from Rod Rosenstein now for months. Subpoenas. And he's been very slow to give it. Now, this latest development also comes within days after we get information. What was it, last weekend, on the FISA applications? These are the applications that the Justice Department put forward to the FISA committee to spy on Paige Carter, a volunteer,
Carter Page,
a volunteer with the Trump campaign during the 2016 election. And Rod Rosenstein signed off on some of those applications, knowing that the basic ingredient of those applications, the proof they were presenting to the court, was the Steele dossier, which was a Democratic Party document. And we now know that the Justice Department did not tell the FISA court that they were basing it on a Democrat document. So this has just amped up this idea that it's time for Rod Rosenstein to go.
Yeah, Rod Rosenstein was appointed or basically hired by President Trump in May of or April or May of 2017. So this is a Trump appointee. I mean, this is not a former Obama official. So it's kind of odd that you have someone in the Trump administration stonewalling the president's Congress, Republican Congress, but it's happening. And Jim Jordan, Congress has complete oversight over the executive branch, especially the departments within the executive branch, such as the Department of Justice. And Rosenstein keeps saying, they say, it's all talk and no action. They say, we're going to get you the documents, you know, we're being fully transparent. And then the House meets with the Department of Justice, and they don't get the documents, or they're all redacted. I mean, so it's starting to get, people are fed up with it. Jim Jordan introduced articles of impeachment.
Yeah, we have a clip of Jim Jordan explaining why these articles of impeachment by these 11 Republicans has been introduced.
We've sent a letter to the president, Mark, myself, and Congressman DeSantis, saying, declassify the information, get us all the information.
Have you ever spoken to him about this? Why won't he declassify these?
We sent the letter several weeks ago, but the bottom line is, we've sent numerous letters to Rod Rosenstein they haven't complied with, two subpoenas they haven't complied with. We've caught the Department of Justice hiding information, redacting information that they should not have redacted. We know that Rod Rosenstein threatened House Committee Intel staffers, threatened them, chilling impact when they were trying to do their job, our job of doing the constitutional oversight we're supposed to do. And we all know what the Justice Department did with the dossier. Never forget, Rod Rosenstein signed the third renewal, signed that, which was based on the dossier, which we know came, parts of it came from Bruce Orr, high-ranking official, through his wife, Nellie, the whole ordeal. So we're tired of the Justice Department giving us the finger and not giving us the information we're entitled to do our constitutional duty. More importantly, the American people are sick of it.
There you have it.
Jim Jordan. That's Congressman Jim Jordan.
And really, one more thing. These departments in the executive branch, it's not up to them to decide what Congress can and cannot see. Because if that's the standard, then they can say, well, you know, we're not going to show you anything. If you're able to withhold information from Congress, I understand that there is classified and confidential information that doesn't need to be made public, but there are ways to show that information to Congress without it
becoming
public.
Are you telling me then that Congress has, I've been following this story, but not as closely as you guys have probably, that you're telling me that Congress, who has oversight authority over the federal government, all right, you're telling me they have asked for documents that the Justice Department?
Mm-hmm.
That the Justice Department has refused to turn over?
Yes.
For months.
Well, you go to jail. As far as I'm concerned, if you say no to that,
you're in contempt.
Now what you're talking about, Walker, you don't want to surprise congressmen by doing a press conference or a presentation before the world that talks about our intelligence or
right.
our projects we're working on, which shouldn't be exposed to everybody in the world. Mm-hmm. That's not what I'm talking about. But you're saying even in secret?
Yes.
Behind closed doors, meetings, even then that the FBI or the Justice Department have refused to, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. In no shape or fashion are they allowing Congress to see these documents.
Well, then that's no different than the Gestapo.
Right.
By that I mean secret, unaccountable, powerful government people and agencies
mm-hmm.
that if they're not accountable to the Congress, then who are they accountable to, Ed? You know what I'm saying?
Well, no,
you know what I'm, that's what yeah. I'm saying. I'm not saying they running around with guns shooting people, but I, right. that's what I'm, and the secret police type
yeah.
thing, that's the power that you're asking us to entrust.
And my understanding is even with documents that are top secret and you need
security.
But
who says they're top secret?
That's the problem.
They say it's top secret.
Well, what I was going to say is that members of Congress can still, who have security clearance, mm-hmm. can still see those documents, and there are ways for them to see documents with. I mean, there's nothing wrong with top, you know, having top secret intelligence agencies and the FBI, but you go into a room, and members of Congress can see, unredacted, they can see these documents because they have security clearance to go see it. Now, they can't take them out of the room, and they can't go make copies.
Wait a minute. Then what? I'm not clear what Walker said and what you're saying. You're saying my question would be they can see all these things.
Well, but the FBI has to make them available.
Yes.
Now, they can send over to members of Congress documents that are redacted, because I'm guessing, I'm an intelligent, but not in the intelligence. But no, you can't, you know, if you take these secure documents, there's a process by which you don't want them leaving mm-hmm. secure locations and being carried in a briefcase, and the guy stops at Starbucks.
Mm-hmm.
So they can send redacted documents to members of Congress so that they can look at them in a committee. But if they want to look at an unredacted top secret document, I think they go to secure rooms like mm-hmm. at the FBI. I think
Well, what are the Republicans complaining about then if they could do that?
Because no one will make them available.
Well, right. There's one more point, too, that these Republicans are after. They have been after Rod Rosenstein for months to present a memo outlining the parameters of the Mueller investigation. He won't even do that. He will not be pinned down on what are the how far is Mueller allowed to go with this investigation?
Well, but part of the problem here is you do have separation of powers. So while Congress has oversight over issues, and like the House Intelligence Committee has oversight, you have an executive branch, the Department of Justice, that is stonewalling.
Yeah.
Because they're going, well you can ask.
Then that's President Trump's fault.
Exactly.
Right. And Congress has to act too.
Yes.
Both of them.
Yes, but President Trump needs to call over to the FBI.
Rod Rosenstein's being paid by Congress, so that's why Congress can impeach him.
Yes.
So you have checks and balances. Congress says, all right, you won't give us what we're asking for, even though it's our constitutional duty to oversee this. We're going to get rid of you.
Mm-hmm.
Could President Trump not solve this problem with a phone call?
Absolutely.
Yeah, Jeff Sessions.
Why doesn't he?
Jeff Sessions could fire him.
Yeah.
I guess.
I don't think President Trump has to call Jeff Sessions. He just has to call Rosenstein and said, you're out.
Mm-hmm.
Give those documents over to the Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
I would guess he nominated
him. We'll be back in a minute. Stay with us.
King of the Wild Frontier.
The music's free. You know, we call it Learning University.
Of necessity.
Trivia Friday.
True.
Ding, ding, ding,
yes.
ding, ding.
Oh, really?
That's correct.
Giraffes do not have vocal cords.
So you want a cheeseburger without cheese?
Hold the cheese.
I said, yes, ma'am, whatever you call it.
Take a break with Tim Wildman and the gang. Friday mornings at 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, I'm reading through the Old Testament now, and I'm coming to places that are named that I see on our Israel tour every March. It's really fascinating to think that Jericho existed way back in the Old Testament, thousands of years ago, and I can visit there today. The same can be said for Jerusalem. The Bible literally comes to life when you visit Israel, the Holy Land. Now, we're going in March. My wife, Allison, and I, we lead these tours every March. So if you would like to go with us, you need to go to the website and check it out. It's twholyland.com, twholyland.com. If you want a brochure sent to your mailbox, just call us at 800-FAMILIES, option 5. That's 800-FAMILIES, option 5, and we'll send you a brochure.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu. When it comes to the national anthem, the Dallas Cowboys expect their players to toe the line by putting their toe on the line. Jerry Jones says the Cowboys will be required to stand on the sidelines for the singing of the Star-Spangled Banner, no matter what the NFL decides to do. The league had initially directed teams to either stay in the locker room or stand along the sideline. Anyone found to be protesting would be punished, but that policy was put on hold after the players' union took issue. The players are protesting police brutality and racial injustice, and they seem to think the best way to endear themselves to the American people is by disrespecting the flag. In response, viewership and game day attendance have dropped like a rock. So let's hope other teams will follow the lead of the Dallas Cowboys. Honoring America is a slam dunk. I mean, it's a home run. I mean, well, you know what I mean. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Welcome back to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim Wildman here with Ed Battagliano, Walker Wildman, and Fred Jackson. You're listening to American Family Radio. Check us out on the internet at afr.net. We are live video streaming this show on Facebook and on YouTube. So if you want to watch us on Facebook or YouTube, just type in Today's Issues. Have we been shadow banned, Walker, that you know of?
Well,
can you shadow ban what we do here, just live video streaming?
Yeah, they can shadow ban the reach of your post and the videos of post. So, but there's no way for us to know. You would have to be inside Facebook software and all that to know that.
Yeah, shadow ban. Was that a Bee Gees song, Fred? Shadow banning.
Shadow dancing.
Oh, shadow dancing, wasn't it? Is that what it was, Ed?
Yeah. Was that Bee Gees? Was that the Bee Gees?
I want to say it's Bee Gees, like mid, late 70s or something that. Right in the middle of disco.
Yeah.
It wasn't Willie Nelson.
No, it wasn't Willie Nelson.
He wasn't shadow banning or shadow dancing or anything like that. All right, Fred, we have a guest.
We do. Our good friend, Understanding the Times, and Jan Markell from the great state of Minnesota is joining us on the line. Jan, good morning.
Oh, thank you for having me.
I tell you what, and of course, Olive Tree Ministries is your ministry. And we were talking about the cool down here in the South a few moments ago.
Coming up
next week.
Right.
Highs in the 80s.
Have you reached the
80s up there this summer?
Well, but you're getting that from us. The high today is going to be in the 60s here.
Are you serious?
High that is, sounds in the 60s in I'll July in, Minnes- yep. in Minnesota?
Yeah, yeah. I tell you what, I'm moving. Now moving back. Moving back in December. I'm moving up to Minnesota tomorrow.
Yeah, well, you know, it's not so hot those months. I mean, it's right. not, what am I right. trying to say? You don't want to be here in December, January, and February. But I was just in Dallas, though, guys, and it was 104. So, pick your misery. You got it either way.
Yeah, exactly. Summertime. You know, they showed a heat index the other day. I saw a heat map of America, you know, and they had 118 in Las Vegas or something like that. And, but I was going, you know, this looks like summertime, normal summertime to me. I know it's hotter in some places, but it's also cooler in some places. Mm-hmm. Hey, Jan, we wanted to talk to you about the situation in Israel, because we know you follow Israel daily and what's happening in Israel. Did the Israelis shoot down a Syrian warplane?
Mm-hmm. I believe they did.
Yeah.
They did. This is a day or two ago.
Yes.
Because they said it was in Israeli airspace. And, of course, Syria denies that. I'm sure it was in Israel. Israel doesn't want a war, for Pete's sake.
No.
But, you know, they've also got to send the message. So they sent the message.
Yeah, Ed, we were talking about this the other day, and having been over in Israel myself many times. When you see the lay of the land and how small it is geographically, you can't. Israel doesn't have the luxury, of saying, I wonder if.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So they have hard and fast policies they follow, and if you violate those, you get zapped, or blown
that's
out,
exactly
of,
right.
or blown out of the sky,
and
that's what happened with the Syrian jet there. So, you know,
I think the Middle East is on the verge of something major. I do think a war could break out, and it may not be a minor war, whether it's Hezbollah, whether it's forces in Syria. And look how many are in Syria. You've got the Russians, the Iranians, the Syrians, the rebels, ISIS. They're all in Syria. That's right on Israel's border. You've got Hamas acting up in the south, burning down parts of southern Israel. I think that the region is on the verge of something, and I have no idea if it's going to be major or minor, but it's not going to be pretty.
The Middle East. That's strange that they would be
Shocked?
On the verge of something happening there. Yeah, but, you know, well, we're keeping our eyes on Israel, but as I say, Israel has they have to defend themselves, and they cannot take a chance on, you know, if Israel makes a mistake, they don't exist anymore.
Right.
That's exactly right.
So they can't have that.
Well, like the United States, you have, you know, 3,000 miles from, you know, east to west.
And you know, a couple of oceans.
Yeah, a couple oceans. You could technically trade a little bit of ground there, and, you know, if we were ever attacked. Israel can't trade ground for time.
Right.
I mean, they're constantly on the alert. If Hezbollah is just about taken over South Lebanon, they're an enemy
absolutely.
To the north. You know, you get Syria, and Jan laid out the, in Syria, the mess that, you know, that's there.
Yeah. Yeah.
The tragedy, I think, of my lifetime is what's going on in Syria. And of course, that's affected all of Europe. I mean, that's why there are this many immigrants coming to Europe, is they're fleeing those war-torn areas, both Iraq and Syria. But when you really, if the media would cover the scope of the suffering in Syria, people would be blown away. It is almost unspeakable.
It's who versus who in Syria?
You know, that's really a good question, Tim. But because nobody knows how involved the Russians are. But I mean, the Russians are bombing towns all throughout Syria. But then, who's orchestrating the Russians? That I think is the question. Who's is Bashar Assad orchestrating the Russians? Is ISIS involved somehow, or in fact is Russia?
But are there any good guys? That's what I would want to know.
And are there any good guys? Well, I think the only good guys perhaps would be the Israelis, who are literally taking care of some of the refugees that are coming to the border of Israel.
Yes.
So that's the classic question. who are the good guys and who are the bad guys? And I think you'd have to be on the ground over there or part of American intelligence to figure that out.
Brad's got one more question
for
you.
Yeah, Jan, earlier this week I hear there were about 5,000, mostly if not all, evangelicals meeting in Washington, and this is a group that supports Israel. I'm not sure if you were at that meeting, but they heard from Prime Minister Netanyahu. But the other night, they also heard from Nikki Haley, who is our ambassador to the United Nations. And someone commented that Nikki Haley is more Israeli than some Israelites.
Explain
to people why that comment was made.
Well, and that's interesting you bring that up. And I post headlines to my website, and I posted that headline about 7 o'clock this morning. And you're right. And by the way, that gathering in Washington was Christians United for Israel. That's John Hagee's organization. Mm-hmm. It's the largest I'm not a part of it for other reasons that aren't important, but it's the largest pro-Israel organization in the world. I think 3 million. I know Gary Bauer is very involved in it, and a bunch of others, some good folks are doing a good job there. But anyway, I'm not sure how I got distracted, but Nikki Haley is absolutely, look, she came from a Sikh, S-I-K-H background, which is pagan to the core. She is now a believer. She's a Christian. How that happened, I don't know. But she is a remarkable woman, and I expect to see her, if we have a few years left here before the Lord returns, to perhaps be vice presidential candidate.
Yeah. Hey, Jan, your show's aired on weekends here on American Family Radio. Noon Central on Sundays and 1 on Saturdays?
That is correct. And I'm going to be talking about the invasion of the paranormal into the world of believers. Again, this part 2, we did it last weekend as well, because a lot of your listeners don't know it, but the world of the paranormal is trying to come in and wreck their lives, and they just need to be aware of it and be alert.
Thank you, Jan. What's your website?
Thank you. OliveTreeViews.org.
Thank you, Jan. Appreciate it very much.
Yeah, bye now.
Paranormal?
I had one normal one time, but you get a paranormal, man, I tell you what, you can be in big trouble.
She's talking about something different, Ed, but you know, I'm not going to argue with you. But I think she's talking about, have you seen these TV shows where they ghost hunt?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is that sort of what?
They're absolutely ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is all edited together.
Pretty predictable every
time. You know, hey, did you see that? I heard something. And there, I mean, it's clearly.
Go back to the film. Look what's crossing. Huh? What's that brushing its teeth?
I've watched just a few minutes of those shows just to mock them. But I did watch one or two of the Hunt for Bigfoot kind of shows. And then I suddenly realized, you know, if anybody actually finds a Bigfoot, it's going to be on the news. It's going to be international news before these yahoos air it on, you know, Discovery Channel or whatever. So I thought,
duly noted.
Forget it. Now, folks, please, if you think that Bigfoot sightings are demonic, those kind of things, please don't email me. I'm not arguing about that. I'm just talking about the show.
And I'm not. I don't mean to make light of Jan's topic.
No, no, no.
Because there is a problem in our culture and even in the Christian church about adopting paranormal or what the Bible would say would be demonic activities,
right?
That are being brought into the church even sometimes. But reminds me of, remember Young Frankenstein? Mm-hmm. You ever see that movie? Walker hadn't seen that movie. I don't think you
in high school or something. Yeah,
it's remember it was a. I'm not endorsing the whole movie, but I'm talking about
Mel Brooks. I think directed.
Yeah. So anyway, Gene Wilder's character, the deceased Gene Wilder, the comedian, the monster, Frankenstein, wakes up.
I know. I know for a fact that name is Frankenstein.
Okay. Well, as a matter of fact, Frankenstein. Anyway, he wakes up from being created, and he's enraged. He's a nut. He's out of control. And so Gene Wilder's character turns to Marty Feldman.
Marty Feldman,
who was playing the Hunchback.
Yeah.
And he was the one that had been sent
Igor.
He had been sent on the mission to go get the brain to put in
From a lab.
To Frankenstein. From a lab. You know where I'm going with this?
Oh, I do.
And so anyway, Gene Wilder, Dr.
Frankenstein.
Yeah, says to Igor, "What kind of brain did you get? Where did you get it?" Or something, I'm paraphrasing now. He goes, "I don't know. It was Abby something."
It had a label on it.
Had
the,
a label on
the
it.
Chart.
It was Abby something. He goes, "Abby." Yes, I think it was Abby Normal. Abby Normal. And then, of course, Gene Wilder's character goes, it's funny if you watch the clip. It's hilarious.
You mean it said abnormal?
Abnormal.
That's the
Abby
brain
Normal.
You got.
Abby Normal. Anyway, he about kills Igor right there. But when she said paranormal, I thought about Abby Normal.
Abby Normal.
Don't know why that came to mind. But
you've totally lost Walker.
I think it
Walker's
was,
looking I'm at out. The baseball scores.
Yeah,
while
I
you're...
think it was important that the stock dive. I think it was important that we spend a couple minutes reflecting on Young Frankenstein to add to the content of this program. You're listening to Today's Issues. What's next, Fred?
All right. You know, if you've been following the news at all over the last couple of weeks, President Trump is out there as part of his election campaign. He complained about the trade deals that the United States is involved with all around the world, China, European Union, Mexico, et cetera, et cetera. So that's been a big part of the last year and a half he's been in office. Well, recently, of course, he went to Europe and he complained openly to the European Union, "Hey, the United States is not getting a good part of this deal. And we're going to start upping the tariffs on the stuff coming in from you guys in Europe unless we get a better deal." And, of course, the mainstream media, the Democrats, were all complaining, "This is terrible, what we're doing to our allies, blah, blah, blah." Well, yesterday, a representative, high-ranking representative of the European Union, who kind of represents them on trade, came to the White House for a visit with President Trump. And after that, they had this Rose Garden announcement that, lo and behold, as many observers are saying, the Europeans blinked. In fact, one of those people saying that is Stuart Varney from the Fox News Channel. And here's how he assessed the deal that was announced yesterday by President Trump.
"The Europeans blinked. Mr. Trump, hardline Trump, won big. We imposed tariffs on steel and aluminum. That was the club that we brought our trading nations to the table with. The Europeans are going to buy a ton of our soybeans. Mm-hmm. The farmers are feeling much better about that. And Trump's on his way to Iowa later on today. But even more important, the Europeans are going to take our energy. They're going to take liquefied natural gas. Take that, Russia."
Now, what he's referring to, you remember during the Europe trip that the president was on just a few days ago, he complained to the Germans, who had just signed this big deal with Russia to take a 60% of their gas needs from Russia. Remember, President Trump complained saying, "Wait a minute, we're spending all these NATO dollars to protect you guys from Russia, and you're signing energy deals." So up
and making yourself dependent on Russia.
And making yourself dependent on Russia. So yesterday, President Trump was smiling. He really was at this Rose Garden because just as Stuart Varney and others are saying, the Europeans blinked. And once again, President Trump's tough talk, rhetoric, whatever you want to call it, appears to be working.
Well, it's more than tough talk, though. He's putting these tariffs on. I mean, this is real. There's real reasons why these people are coming back to the table.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I am woefully unqualified and really disinterested in the whole tariff thing. I move on quickly because I'm just not, you know, there's only so much.
Right.
Your mind can comprehend. We got college football coming up. And I need to clear out some space. You know what I'm saying?
I understand.
But I will say this. The president campaigned on this.
Mm-hmm.
He campaigned on better trade deals around the world for America. He studied this stuff, and he's a international businessman. And so I think what he's trying to do with a lot of success now, it appears, is trying to genuinely get better deals for our country around the world and take off these shackles of tariffs and other regulations that hurt our business deals. And why you would criticize somebody for that? Now, it's one thing if you think, okay, this is going to lead to a trade war, and so I'm not for it, some of these things. But why you would criticize the president's motives here, it appears to me he's turning out, if you with this yesterday with the European Union, as Stuart Varney said, they blinked. You know, he called their hand and they blinked. So,
well, his position has been, I'm talking about President Trump,
yes,
has been, there's already a trade war, yeah, because Europe already had tariffs on U.S. products. Right. And he basically said, and remember when he said, well, fine, well, we're going to start throwing some tariffs up too. He was criticized and he came back with, fine, then let's do zero tariffs.
Yes.
If you're all complaining about tariffs,
right,
fine, no tariffs. You okay with that? And of course, they said no because they liked the situation, mm-hmm, where
it favored them.
Where it favored them. And Trump in the campaign said, "I'm going to renegotiate deals with all these countries." He's actually doing it.
But I think there's a bigger picture here. Past presidents, Republican and Democrat, are globalists.
I think you are exactly
swamp rats,
right.
Yeah. They're swamp rats. They're globalist swamp rats.
That's including what they George are. Bush, I think.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, George Bush. The whole Bush family are globalists. Right. Right. And so they were worried about offending, you know, our neighbors, mm-hmm, all of that sort of thing, because they are globalists. Donald Trump is a nationalist.
Yeah. Right.
Put America first.
Right. Yes.
And he said, you know, this country is not getting good deals, trade deals around. We made all of these compromises under Republicans and Democratic presidents. Enough is enough.
Well, you know, it's just like President Trump, the gas prices start going up here. He tweets out, "Hey, I'm on the phone with Saudi Arabia telling them they got to bring down the cost of a barrel of oil." Who does that?
Right.
And now whether he's successful and able, I think they did bring it down, or they did agree to help us out.
Saudi Arabia, I think, said Saudi Arabia did. Producing some more.
So I'm saying who else in history has done things of that nature, at least been out in front about it, Walker?
Yeah. The most bizarre thing is that Republicans, the establishment Republicans and Democrats who criticize President Trump over tariffs and some of these other negotiation tactics, the past 20, 30, 40 years, we've had this bad situation and nobody's done anything about it.
Right.
Someone comes in and tries to do something about it, President Trump, and then they complain that he's not doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Well, you ask them, well, what's the solution? And they don't have a solution.
Yeah. Right.
Otherwise, they would have already done it. So,
right.
And it's disingenuous to act like you're a Democrat or Republican and you care about the farmers and those hurt by tariffs in the U.S., but you have no solution. And President Trump's solution is to use tariffs as a negotiation tactic to hopefully make it a level playing field.
He's pushing our weight around, is what he's doing. Mm. President Trump, I'm talking about, and I mean that in a positive way. I mean, we are the biggest
producer and consumer.
Right.
Right.
When I say producer, most things. But to Fred's point, I think you're exactly right that the reason why Republicans and Democrats, the establishment, haven't done anything is because they are globalists. Now, what does that mean? What it means is that these globalists recognize that we're the biggest producer and consumer, and so they're going to use the U.S. wealth, mm-hmm, to spread the wealth around the world.
Yep.
So the U.S. gets some raw deals in terms of trade. That's okay. These other nations need it. Why should we care whether they need it or not? Because we're globalists.
Yeah. Right.
That's the way they reason. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Trump comes in and he says, we're not doing that anymore. The American people for 30, 40 mm-hmm years have been getting a bad deal. Wages.
And they haven't even known it.
They haven't even known it, really.
They haven't even known what's causing these stagnation in wages. Why are we losing all these jobs mm-hmm overseas? Is it just because they don't have to pay as much for labor? Or are there other reasons? And President Trump's come along and pointed out.
And the reason, one of the reasons they didn't know is because most people in the media are globalists.
Yes.
And they saw what Bush was doing and they mm-hmm saw what Obama was doing as a good thing. Trump wants to stop that, and that's why they attack him in the media.
And this goes back to the border,
uh-huh,
because they don't like these borders.
Yeah.
We're going to have all these people coming up from Central and South America so they can get good paying jobs here. Well, that's a nice thing to do, but Is that costing U.S. jobs? That's okay.
Yeah.
You know, and NAFTA, that's okay because we're globalists and it's not just about us. Well, yeah. Trump says no more of that.
Yep.
Yeah, and when the media acts as if President Trump's the most unpopular president in history, everybody hates him. But when you go out and you watch like Fox and Friends in the morning on Fox News, they go to these diners for breakfast and they ask the people, what do you think about the president? And none of them, as you said yesterday, none of them go, well, his Helsinki comments really made me feel uncomfortable, you know, blah, blah, right, foreign policy.
Right.
No, they're going, you know, I got a raise in February because of tax cuts. You know, my business is doing great, you know, blah, blah, blah. So the American people don't care about.
Hey, is it tomorrow, Walker, Fred or Ed, feel free to answer this. Is it tomorrow the numbers come out for the jobs?
Yeah, well, they were waiting. Everyone's waiting on it. I'm not sure whether it's today or tomorrow.
Is it today or tomorrow? But anyway, the anticipation is it'll be really good news for the president because it'll represent.
It has been for months.
Yeah. But it's very interesting what's going on here because, Walker, I think the president's approval rating is at, if you believe, one poll of 45, other one 47. He's hovering around that between that 45, 47, 48. And that's basically his hardcore base over here. But I think the numbers could go over
Tomorrow morning, 8:30 a.m.
He might
Eastern
touch 50
time.
Tomorrow if the news, because the news is going to be undeniable, no matter how the left wing media tries to spin it. And you know, also what's undeniable is that the unemployment rate in the African American community and in the Hispanic community the two largest minority groups in America, they're doing really good in the Trump economy, comparatively speaking. Am I right?
Best in more than a decade.
Okay, so that's also undeniable. I've heard some of these lefties trying to give President Obama credit for this.
Yes.
Have you heard this?
Yes.
Huh? Well, this is, and I don't think fair-minded people are buying that.
Right.
President Obama could have cut taxes and reignited the economy and deregulated, but he was a big tax, soaked the rich, and regulation guy. So that it stalled the economy for about the whole time he was in office. All right, you got
one more. You mentioned football.
Yeah, football.
Dallas Cowboys. Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones. He makes the big announcement yesterday.
Yeah.
His players better be in line. They better be out in the field when the national anthem is played. And they better stand up, toe the line, or else.
Yeah.
He's taking a strong stand.
Jerry Jones, owner of the guess what? When the man who writes your check tells you how you're to dress and conduct yourselves at work, either you conform or you don't get paid. Or you find another job. And it's that way in every job in America, right? It should be.
Yes.
That's the normal. You don't get to decide whether you're going to take a knee at work. You know what I'm saying? So I think Jerry Jones has said that as far as the Dallas Cowboys are concerned, we will do as we've always done. I'm paraphrasing. But now he said toes on the line.
Toe on the line.
What he's talking about is the sideline there.
Right.
In other words, the Cowboys have always represented themselves with, you know, in respect of the flag, in respect of our country. And that's what he didn't say that the Dallas Cowboys on their own personal time can't go out and participate in some kind of a protest.
Right.
He's saying the Dallas Cowboys, when they're in our stadium, will.
In uniform. Representing the team I own.
Will conform to the standards that we have set here.
Yep.
And they did last year, too. The Dallas Cowboys never took a knee. None of them ever took a knee that I remember during the season, except for Jerry Jones. He did that group thing with them one time. Thanks, Fred.
All righty.
We will return in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.